For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is a Tuesday morning service of July the 4th, 1989. Tape number 8 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Blanche Reynolds is a teacher for the morning.
Blanche is going to try and get us through the rest of the seven churches of Revelation. I thought she had missed one yesterday, but it was, and I told her she skipped one, and then we began to look in the Bible, and it was my error. She hadn't skipped it. I just had gotten a couple of them out of order or something. But she's going to try and keep them in order today and bring us up to date. We're living in the day of the revelation revelation, I guess, is more correct, a revealing, actually, of the churches. They're given to us in Revelation, and we now have those seven churches in the land today. And Blanche is doing a good job of laying them out and showing us where we're at in them and what and how they apply to each one of us and how much of us is in them or they're in us in this day. So Blanche, come on here and lay it on the line.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm not a preacher that preaches with notes, but you'd never believe it by what's up here. There's just so much information, and the Lord just keeps adding to it. And so I'm always writing something down or you know, underlining what is already there as the Lord makes revelation available. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank you for the everlasting covenant that you included us, Lord, that you have left nothing out. Your word is mighty. Your word is glorious. Hallelujah. Your word is life. Father, we've come as your end time glorious church. A way of life, a life in fulfillment. You are teaching us, Lord, who we are, where we are in this vital hour. And so, Father, this morning we command our being to your attention. We ask you to write your word indelibly upon our heart. We ask you, oh Lord God, to open our understanding. Dig our ear, Lord. Let there be nothing left out to guess and chance. But let us stand steadfast and possess the fullness of truth, Lord. And let us never waver from the call, your call upon our life and your word that you have placed within our mouth. And, oh, Lord God, let the world see that out of death a people of life are groomed for eternal glory. And let the world acknowledge and know that the sons of God will stand in this end time hour and set every captive free. And let us, oh, Lord, be made aware that we are that people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we worship you. And how we praise you and we magnify your name this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you are love. And that in your love, everything abounds and comes into perfection and completeness. Because you have commanded it so. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, we wait on you. Lord, we don't know how to go in or to come out unless you direct us. And you are teaching us, Lord. On different levels of understanding we are. Different planes of growth, Lord. But every one of us seeking you. And to know you. And the power outflowing from your resurrection. We are a resurrection people. And now, Lord Jesus, we are expecting you to write your word indelibly upon our heart. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we have some newcomers. And we don't want you to be left out, so we encourage you to get the other two tapes that began this message and continued it. Just to keep you with us at this moment, I'm not going to say as much as I did yesterday about recapping. But I don't want to leave you thinking, what in the world are they talking about? See, so let me just explain this. We're talking about the revealing of Jesus, the attitude of Savior, hallelujah, fitting in the body, becoming His likeness. Oh, that's good, hallelujah. Becoming like Him, hallelujah. Now, we're talking about seeing Him in all of resurrection glory. He came to bring resurrection life to this earth. This earth, see, this, I'm pointing to me, this earth, and pointing to you, this earth, see. And in this understanding of who we are becoming Him who is faithful. We are becoming Him who stands at the door and knocks. We are fitting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Lord is showing us who we are, where we are, and it is no small thing. A revelation. There are attitudes in the church, in the body, that must be dealt with. Every one of us, coming through bloodline bondages, weaknesses inherited from generations past, curses have been in effect over our life that have produced weaknesses, traumas, situations within us that must be overcome. We in this vital hour, the sons of God, must come to that place, where wisdom and knowledge fulfill the spiritual wisdom. Spiritual knowledge, I'm not talking about your intellect and your ability to learn in the natural. I'm talking about spiritual man, spiritual understanding, the only real self that you really are. See, life in the spirit. You know, like packing up your suitcases and moving in with Jesus. See, when you live with somebody, you begin to find out how and who and what they are and how they feel about everything. Now, see, it's time for the church, see, the body of Christ, to move in, take their place, know, the understand the unction of the Spirit, see, know the mind of the Father, see, know the thought. I envision a time when the body of Christ will be so in tune, so fulfilled, so complete, such overcomers that they will hear as Father thinks.
Yes.
Now, shakes you a little, doesn't it? But isn't it exciting to know that the Lord has planned so completely for His body to be meet and met in Him, a union so perfected and so glorious that you won't see where I quit and you begin, and where you quit and I begin, a place in Him that we might dwell, see, no shadows, no problems, no traumas, nothing that will keep us from being joined together, a vital body, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, hallelujah, the body joined together, and out of death, glory to God, like a sleeping giant awakening, we see a people standing in glory, hallelujah, taking their place in truth, knowing the plan, hallelujah, and carrying it forth. Praise the Lord. Now, to see Him. Hallelujah. And as I said in the beginning, it occurred to me that God must have had a reason for putting all of these seven churches with all the many churches that were there. Why would He call forth all of these seven names? And I'm going to relate them to you, and I'm going to give you the meaning that the Lord showed to me, so that this we can understand, that as deliverance is understood in each of us, We are being delivered from all of the weaknesses, all of the tendencies of the character and nature of the weaknesses of these seven churches. What God is showing and what I believe His intent was in this realm, in this hour, is to reveal unto us the mixture that's in His body. Because we're His body. Now, that mixture carried over from the powers of death. Carried over because all of us, the genetic response of parenting, have taken upon us the shaping of our generation man. And every one of us are being brought out of that natural man, that first Adam nature. And in this hour, the vitality of Christ-like, the nature of God, the overcomer, hallelujah, the firstborn generation man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the body of Christ is taken on a new image, a new likeness, hallelujah. And old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. And those things that we gave ourselves to yesterday aren't applicable today. We are a body that is changing into the image of Jesus Christ. And beloved, there's some things in us that's got to be removed. We can't carry and nurse all of these weaknesses and tendencies and jealousies. Beloved, we're a body that's coming together, joined, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid the price for you and I to indwell, to live in Him, to become a part of Him in the revealing of Himself. We are there, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When God made a decree, He fulfilled His word. That word that has been spoken is coming into being. It has spoke, the Lord has spoken, and we are moving in to that shaping of the majesty and splendor of His person. All that nature of death, glory to God, is being put under our feet. The death realm is the last enemy to go, and death, hallelujah, has been swallowed up in victory. We are alive people, living to live, hallelujah. Out of death, we have come, glory to God. Now, many things going on in this earthly order. Much that in the realm of death that is coming in forces and power because it has been ministered to by in the death realm. Satan realizing his time is short. And because the mind of man has been perverted, that the python nature, that python divination nature, it's one and the same. Acts 16:16, the Greek word, when the damsel followed Paul and Silas around, it said that she was possessed by a spirit of divination. The word in the Greek for divination, it means python. It says it's python. She was possessed by the spirit of Python. That python, that great serpent, divination, mind control, divination, soothsaying, divination, occult, bewitchments, beguilements, ignorance of man following after the desires of the flesh rather than overcoming the weaknesses of his flesh and moving in to a spirit understanding, the spirit of God, the way of life, Jesus Christ the Son, and knowing that all who are heirs of God are sons of God, hallelujah. And God is bringing forth His image, hallelujah. And out of all of this death and everything awful that's going on, God's still got a man in the earth. Hallelujah. He's many-membered, glory to God. In Noah's day, when all that was going on in that day, God had a man in the earth. Hallelujah. And when it was all ripe and ready to disappear because of the rebellion and everything that man gave himself to that was deceitfully evil, God had a man who would follow the instructions, who would walk in obedience, and would bring deliverance. God had a deliverer. His name was Noah. Hallelujah. And he delivered his household and the animals of that day. And God brought forth out of all of that corruption, when the water subsided, vegetation, the kingdom's glory, all of the elements intact again. And out of all of that death, life continued on. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. And God set his rainbow. Did you know that Jesus is God's rainbow? Jesus is God's promise. God looked at all of that and he said, never again will I cover sin with water. Will I cover it over with water? You see, Jesus, God's rainbow, God intended to remove it. He knew what would happen when Jesus Christ came. See, that's what was happening that day on the banks of Jordan when they stood there and Jesus submitted to John the Baptist. An old order, hallelujah, a promise fulfilled, glory to God. The Son of God, the Creator, the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, stood there to carry out a divine plan that would restore and make ready the kingdom of God in this earth, that man would never waver, man would never be defeated, man would never fall prey to the power of death once he believed and submitted to that work of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I don't know how we got off on that, but glory to God, it's needed to be said, see. We're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're not this way just by, oh, I've always been this way. Beloved, the enemy's been out to destroy you. He wants you to produce his image within you. And there's a war going on, a battle being fought. Glory to God. And the back page, the last page of the book says that we win. There comes a time, hallelujah, when you and I are going to have to stand up and declare the kingdom of God right here. Hallelujah. What are you giving yourself to? What is it that's driving you? Where are the weaknesses in your being? And make a decisive decision that I'm going to follow after the revealing of Jesus Christ. Being led by the Spirit of God makes you and qualifies you to be a son of God. All that are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 declares it. And the law of the Spirit of life, the law of our new being, has freed us from the law of sin and death. Now, the declaration's been made. We are going to walk it out. This death realm in us has got to go. But here we are looking at this revealing of Jesus. And we see him standing in the lampstand. We see the excellence and majesty, and your spirit man gets excited every time you read it. Oh, John was wrapped in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit, wrapped in his power. See, the conditions to see the Lord, hallelujah, are spoken right here. Being in the Spirit. See, sometimes the shadows of death are so powerful and overshadowing us, we cannot understand or feel that being in the Spirit. And what deliverance does, it removes those shadows out of you so that being in the Spirit, hallelujah, you can begin to see Jesus. He is there, hallelujah, and we shall be like him. Glory to God now. So this first church that was being revealed was the church of Ephesus. Ephesus means like permitted or desirable. And we see this attitude in the body. Every one of us having desires and permissiveness, allowing the things that our flesh wishes upon to come into our life, the things that we're giving ourselves to. See, the attitude has to come out of the body of Christ, and we are that body. So who's got to change? We got to change, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Now, so this attitude of giving ourselves to the desires of the flesh has got to be changed. Now, and you can have the tape for the rest of that. The next church was Smyrna. Smyrna means myrrh or bitterness. And if ever there was a bitter generation, we see a bitter generation in this hour. Families destroyed, divorces everywhere, children with no parent image, hurts and pains, families separated from one another, and we see bitterness abounding. And beloved, all the psychiatrists in the world can tell you what's wrong with you, but they can't tell you how to get it out of you. It only comes from an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and in that power of Calvary's cross, glory to God, the bruise is in effect. He was bruised, hallelujah, so that the bruise in your body will have no effect. Hallelujah. Now, bitterness creates a bruise. Bitterness comes from a deep blow, a cutting wound to the heart. Bitterness has got to come out of the body. Bitterness causes death. Its counterpart in the physical, see, after the mind accepts the fullness of bitterness, the next step of Satan is to destroy the physical. And the next step is to produce that bitterness so into the body that cancer begins, eruption, arthritis begins, until the body is rendered totally helpless to protect itself or to give or to receive anything. Bitterness is a vicious, vital, demonic spirit that is loosed upon the heart and the mind of man, an attitude that will cause you to stand in the gates of hell and think on terms of suicide or destruction. Bitterness compounded from generation to generation. We wonder why we have tendencies to feel like everybody's against us, or tendencies that makes us sit and stare, tendencies that bruise us, expecting the worst from everybody we encounter, or tendencies of jealousy and hatred. Beloved, genetically, created within us from generations past, every curse that has been allowed and every generation that has not broken its effect, the enemy has the right to work through. And in that, as he works through, he brings his demon forces with him. And as he continues to bombard and to bruise the mind and batter the body, his intent is to produce an image that has no power to worship the Lord, the ability to love, or to prosper in any way in God's love. Now, that spirit of bitterness. Now, let us go on again. Pergamum. Let me say it like the Lord taught it to me. Perigamos cosmos. Perigasmos. I said it wrong every time. Pergamum. That's English. Pergamum was the seat of Satan, the temple of the Aesculapius, the temple of the serpent. So beguiled and bewitched were the people. How did it get there? That old King Philadelphia and his brother Eumenes encouraged that Babylon experience. When the Medes and the Persians took over Babylon, the deity or the dignitaries of the land escaped to Pergamum. And of course, you know, they brought all their idols with them. Every time, see, if the enemy's going to come into your territory, he's going to bring all his junk with him, see. Now, how does he get an entrance into your territory? Why, you get mad and pitch a fit. See, the devil does in anger what God does in love. Or you allow that steaming jealousy, bitterness, to control. You see, the Word says that whatsoever man giveth himself to, that's what he becomes a servant of. And if you serve, see, the things of death, the meaning of this, of the namesake here, if you become that character, see, if you become that nature, then those things have a right to blossom up within the midst of you, see. The root is planted, and it puts on tentacles and branches, and it calls many things into your being. And you're thinking, well, you know, I never got that mad before. Beloved, the more you refuse to deal with, or you don't deal with because of ignorance or whatever your decision is, that doesn't stop that old sly fox, the devil. He's going to be there bombarding your being every opportunity he has. All of these churches are like attitudes, characters, nature that has got to come out of the body of Christ. And what does the Word say? We have got to overcome in each one of these areas now. And in that overcoming process, we are seeing that as God is doing a work, he had a word to say to each one of them. Now, I want to go through them all, and then I want to read to you what the Lord had to say about each one, So we know where we're going to attack our enemy. See, the Word is being revealed. It's a revelation to the spirit man. See, flesh and blood can't reveal this to you. It has to be done by the Spirit. And so as you're in the Spirit and wrapped in His power, the Holy Ghost is teaching, we are putting on the power of an endless and an indestructible life as we obey the Word of God and allow Him, to fulfill and come forth in the midst of us. See, the Word has been spoken. Jesus paid the price. He annulled death and He made it of no effect. But what have we been doing? We've been living to die instead of living to live. We view everything in most of our day by it scared me to death or what's going to happen to me in the midst of it. See, where is trust? Where is the anointing of knowing that I'm my beloved's and He's mine? And like we said yesterday, there'll come an hour when this old human container is going to cramp your style. You're going to be ready to get rid of it. See, we've got to remove the stigma, the fear of death. Now, hallelujah, this death realm, it's the last enemy to go. We know that we are right on target. We know that everything in this hour is moving swiftly toward an understanding, an unction of total life, out of death, a revealed of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His image, so complete and so clear unto our understanding that we would never guess. We would stop hoping, glory to God, because we would know that we are there. The spirit man, complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah now. And the next church from Pergamum was Thyatira. Thyatira means burning incense, like giving yourself to divination. You know, going into a trance, being overcome, giving yourself it. And what did He say? That you suffer that old woman Jezebel to live. And He said, I'm going to throw her on a bed of hot ashes. And He said, I'm going to deal with her children. I'll cause them to die. And we're looking at a generation. They're walking around, but they're like a bunch of zombies. They're controlled by the rock music. The mind so controlled by the words of Satan, by the music is one area that He's working in. The subliminal messages that are being fed into the television programs. Beloved, we better become aware and do the turn off on that box and stop letting it fill your house and put demons into your house that are going to disturb and cause the families to be destroyed. And we better watch what we allow our children to see. But even more than that, fathers and mothers need to hold carefully the anointing of parenting to teach their child and to train him in the way he should go and stop allowing him to go here and to go there just to get him out of your hair or to let him evolve into some kind of a peer-pressured monster. It's time that we take a review on the responsibility of parents and women. Allow the man to be the priest and the head of the house in his home, and encourage that, and travail in your prayer closet until you see fruit, the signs of that glory coming forth in your family. And beloved, God has given us time, just like He told the Thyatira church. That attitude, see, this attitude has got to come out of the body. Everybody's hollering at Washington, beloved. Grassroots America is where this is going to be changed. In the home, in the household, you do something that you can do something about, and that's get your life ordered of the Lord. Let it begin in you. Let a revival come, hallelujah, and let the glory of God be seen in your face. And not all of the disgust and the worry and the trauma of what's going on around you. Amen. And beloved, I hope you never say again, I can't do anything with my kids. I pray that you will be so encouraged and you will get before the Lord and you will ask the Lord to give you wisdom and knowledge on what to say and how to say it so that your children will be encouraged and that your own image will be so spotless before them, that the father image will be the total father image, the man that God created that would be answerable to Him, and the woman would be that woman that God created to make a helpmate, to be a mate unto that man, to become one in Him, and to stop pulling every which way to get their way, and let that divine order begin, hallelujah, and let us be that generation that turns this effect of death around. Let us know that when God decreed for death to be the last enemy centuries ago, and as He brought you, could have, as He give, has given us wisdom and knowledge to cast it from us, hallelujah, to put it under our feet, then glory to God. We are becoming the Word of God, and that attitude of death, hallelujah, that new name that we received is the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and we are going to overcomers. We are the overcomers that are being groomed, hallelujah, to set creation free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the next church was Sardius. Sardius attitude, that name means the escaping one. And we're looking at that everywhere. Boy, you just got to get out of the fire. Can't stand anymore. Pull in your hair, see. The escaping one. That attitude has got to come out of the body. We have got to deal with it. I learned a long time ago in one of the biggest problems I ever faced that the best thing I could do was to hit it head on. And the quicker I could do it, the better I felt about it. Now, I want you to know at first it was like trying to put a cat in a dishpan of water. I didn't want to do it. Everything in me was pulling the other way. But the knowledge of the Word, the realizing that you've got to burst through, you can't stay the same. We're going on. God is moving. Hallelujah. I didn't want to go back into Babylon, and I sure didn't want to stay where I was. Only thing you could do was to attack that situation and put it from you in the name of Jesus. Now, I thank the Lord for every crisis I ever had. I thank Him for every problem I ever had, because it did a work that was effective in me. I don't know how He writes the Word on your heart, but when He starts to write it on mine in those early days, oh, it was grievous. But when it came forth, I was glad. I had to lose everything to find it. But in finding it, I've never been without. See, you don't need a stockpile when you got an endless supply. Find out the revealing, see. Let it be known unto you. The Lord your God is your source. And so this Sardis church, a mixture again, a Lydian city. It was where a center of gold and silver coinage was meant, where trade and commerce continued. See, that fact, that attitude in us to better ourselves. See, that push to better ourselves each time. The exchange of money or commerce or merchants and or trade. That attitude, the escaping one. Get all you can get and get out. See, the escaping one. The churches had that attitude for a long time. I believe they call it rapture. See, get all you can and get out. That attitude of the escaping one has got to get out of the body. We can't leave it there. Now, I hope I haven't stepped on anybody's theology, but yes, I hope I have. I hope that it'll so stir something up in you that you'll begin to see that when God called you and He qualified you and He called you unto Himself, beloved, He wasn't going to leave you somewhere. He'd never build an army and never use it. The Lord your God is complete. Hallelujah. His Word is forever. And when He placed you within Himself, hallelujah, wherever He is, that's where you're going to be. And wherever He is in all His eternal purpose, that's where we're going to live and move and dwell and have our being. We are a vital part in Him. Hallelujah. And this old mixture of death has got to come out of us. And wherever it is, beloved, you're going to look with the eyes of the Holy Ghost and deal with it. Hit it head on. No matter how much it hurts, beloved, I can tell you as a living example that when you make a decree and you command your being to become as He is, and you say, oh, Lord Jesus, whatever it takes, I command my being to your attention, and I ask you to write your Word upon my heart, and I ask you to be in me all that you want to be. Amen. Beloved, He's going to take you at your word, because He's a man of His word. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But it begins. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God for liberty and freedom. Sardius, that attitude must come out of the body. How did that Sardis stone, how was it made? By the element of pressure. right. It comes. It's in the quartz family. I think its hardness is an 8 or a 9 on that scale of pressure that they measure by. I thought, hallelujah, isn't that interesting? 8 is a new beginning. And 9 are the fruit of the Spirit. And at that point, that stone becomes transparent.
Yeah.
You can see through it. What's the world going to see? Jesus. This old identity of me and you. Hallelujah. This old human container in the shaping of death. Hallelujah. Has been swallowed up in victory. This one new man. Hallelujah. The glory of God. The image of Christ is seen in this earth. And you and I belong together. We fit. We need all the help we can get. We need to help each other. Hallelujah. And not condemn and cut one another down and think that somebody's going to get more than you have. But beloved, it's time to meet the conditions of holiness and godliness and know that God designed to have a body, and you're here today because God called and He equipped and He has made ready for unto you a life that is everlasting in His eternal purpose. God designed you to live forever. So let's get this junk out and let's look at ourselves and let's break the bondages and the curses of death that have come through all our generation and command our being to the ever-living One. Him who has eyes like a flame of fire. Him who is girded about the loins with a girdle of gold, the divine nature. Him who wears a robe of righteousness, the spirit of truth, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, knowing Himself. And Him whose feet are like burnished bronze, refined brass. Hallelujah. Brass that's been judged, refined, and made whole in Him. Nothing in no element in that brass that would be anything but brass. Hallelujah. We, it says, message of deliverance. I call it the foot company. We are that feet company that's bringing the body in. We're entering into the Holy of Holies. We're bringing a priestly anointing, a priest who is ready to serve the living God and to stand in His presence and carry out His word and do it like God said it should be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A word, a way of life. Whew, hallelujah. I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's exciting to know. See, that's what the Lord said to me. The body must come on. See, we've been hanging around the church door and wondering. They don't have it together, and I don't have it together. What is together? See, we've been looking. In fact, Ola and I said here recently, it seems like there's more people outside the church than there is in the church. And the Lord makes us know, I'm doing a work. I'm calling out a people. My body's taught by the Holy Ghost. I'm writing my covenant on the heart. Hallelujah. And He is qualified, and He is able to do it. And you are here. See, stop licking but your wounds in self-pity. See, stop feeling you're all alone and begin to turn your eyes onto Him who stands in the midst of the lampstand, and let that only true light in your person be revealed. And in that light, hallelujah, let every change take effect, just like the metamorphosis effect of a cocoon and the butterfly emerging. Beloved, there's a change going on in this hour, and that change is producing a people who are qualified to live forever. And that change, hallelujah, I can imagine that little old worm kicking and squirming. But glory to God, the end result was the glory of life. Hallelujah. A change. Hallelujah. That old nature away. Hallelujah. Now, out of that cocoon, out of that surrounding, out of that enclosure, like chains or like being captured, out of that chain, a butterfly that'll soar the heavenlies. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You and I, the spirit of life,
yeah.
Let us live. Glory to God, because He lives. Glory, hallelujah. And so, let's go to this Philadelphia church. Philadelphia, that's where I am. Yeah, next one is for after Sardis is Philadelphia. I don't want to leave one out. Hallelujah. This Philadelphia church. Now, Philadelphia had a brother named Eumenes. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Now, a holding together. Two kings, a title. Two kings who had great power. But it was an outpost of Hellenism, a Jewish cult or a rite that was legalistic, bound up in the old covenant, strong forces, brotherly love, two kings. It lay on a post road. In other words, this city lay on a post road. Now, this is the attitude that I feel the Lord showed me. Everybody wants to have a union with something. You want to say, I'm a Baptist. I can say that because I used to be. I'm a Methodist. I can say that too because I went to Methodist church. Nazarene, I went to that one too. I can say that too. I went through many, and every one of them blessed me. But glory to God, I came out of them. Hallelujah. And not, you know, leave blessing there and let them grow up and come forth just like the Lord is growing you up and blessing you. See, always remember, everybody else may not be on the same understanding that you are. You know, he's working with us uniquely, individually. And everybody doesn't have the understanding you are. Sometimes when I go into some congregation, the Lord impresses me to be much in prayer so that I am so anointed that his word flows so that nobody will be bruised because they can't understand. We trust the Lord to know what is happening and to be there. See, if your meat offends your brother, he's not going to eat it. See, so we are there in tune, praying, see, in the Spirit, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, I hear what you're saying, Lord, so that we can bless and draw the little ones to a place, you know. It's like when the Lord, I went to South America a couple of years ago, and the Lord said, I'm sending you over there to feed my people. I said, hallelujah. I went back a few months later, and the Lord said, I'm sending you over this time to teach them how to eat. And it was so, it was just like that. We taught them deliverance, masses of deliverance. People came, they mobbed you so till they pinned you to the wall, and that it was almost, a, if you would have looked at it in the natural, you'd have been looking for an exit. But all we did is just work our way out of it, hallelujah. Just command the enemy to go, and we just, every person that we could touch, and I said, Lord, my voice is giving out, and my body is being strained to the point of exhaustion. And I just said, Lord, just as we touch them, just let deliverance flow. Hallelujah. The second time I went back, I saw the fruit of that labor. People came. 17 pastors stood. Holy Ghost pastors stood and in the back and brought their, at the end of the service, brought their little babies and their wives. And they said, Sister Blanche, lay your hands on us and let us pray together that we will be all that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's got his body everywhere. He's calling it together, glory to God. And he's moving mightily in the midst of his people, see. And this word, hallelujah, I'm saying continually, oh God, let the fire fall. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow. Let the word be revealed. Let us get this attitude of death out of your body, because now we're your property, Lord. And we want to be all that you intended us to be. That Philadelphia church, well, some more things went on there. Let me just refer to my notes a minute. After the deity of Babylon, see, they weren't just kings, but they were pontiffs, or they were priests to the people. I mean, they worked in conjuration and divination and sorcery, and many cults were in control there. And when the Medes and the Persians of the hierarchy of Babylon fled because Pergamos was in Asia Minor, and there were set up ancient Chaldean mysteries in all their ancient splendor. You can recall that the letter of the angel to the church of Pergamos contains the words that thou dwellest even where Satan's seat is. See, all that epitome of idolatry. And I want to say another word, paganism. And our land is full of paganism. See, we see all of these same attitudes in evidence in this day. Well, as these kings, this Philadelphia king and the love of his brother Eumenes, see, in all of that there was a greater. And of course God had someone to their benefit. That love that Philadelphia had for Eumenes, that made that road, that journey through. See, all of us are journeying through what we're giving ourselves to. You can't stay in any one place and expect to go on with God. And let me tell you a clue to know how you're moving on. Everything around you seems to get tasteless. Even some of your friends. What's happening? The Holy Ghost is calling you to have meetings. Shut up in your prayer closet, seeking the Lord to break into that higher realm. See, you think you're just going to go zoop, zoop, zoop and tiptoe through the tulips? No. This is warfare. See, like I said, God's not raising a bunch of 100-pound weaklings. Deliverance makes strength in you, a power in you that'll cause you to stand in any furnace, hallelujah, and not be burned. Glory to God. See, so the Lord is shaping you in his image now. So here we see, out of Babylon the sovereign pontiffs came. And they brought all of their idolatry. I believe that in one place I read that there were 12 gods, ancient gods, mystics, that were worshipped in that hour. This was a time now when Jesus Christ has come, the Holy Ghost outpoured, and Paul and all of the disciples are now ministering. This is the religion. These are the spirits that they were combating. They were the disciples of Jesus. God is calling out His discipleship. See, His program hasn't changed. We are His property. Hallelujah. And that old sly fox, the devil, is ruling with all of his intent to destroy and to bring down this authority of discipleship in the earth now. He wants to produce His image. He wants to beguile and bewitch. And if there's anything in you that He can lay claim to, then He's going to do it. Remember what I told you yesterday. When somebody is putting a Jezebel nature on you, you better find out where the Jezebel is in you that it attaches itself to. If there wasn't anything there, wouldn't bother you one bit. You'd just be in an attitude of prayer and praise for that person. And Jezebel plays on the rejection root in people, because her intent is to control them. Now, let's just praise the Lord for good understanding now. Hallelujah. Now, almost, let's look at our America. We're seeing that Python, the spirit of divination, emerge. People's minds control. Advertisements on the TV, in those Time Life books, saying, you know, would you like to be a witch? That's what this good-looking lady sits up there with her legs crossed and said, would you like to be a witch? Would you like to control people? I saw it in Atlanta. It hasn't been too long ago that I saw it there. And you can send for these books and they'll tell you how to cast all the spells and do all the potions and that. It occurred to me also that our good old USA, our America, has in its state seals some things that need to be prayed about by the body. And that as this information comes into your hand, and as you view it, we need to have an understanding of signs and symbols and the things that Satan is using to damn and to curse and to bring bondage into the land. I'll give you a for instance. Did you know that the state of California has the goddess Minerva? Now, Minerva was one of these 11 gods that they worship. Minerva dressed like a man. She fought harder than any man. She was a god that they called of war. She was a lesbian. She carried her wolf with her. He walked beside her. That old wolf, that, you know, gobble you up nature, full of fear. And that goddess Minerva is on the state seal of California. She's sitting there overlooking San Francisco Bay. Do I have to say anything more to you? See, we're looking at many states, stars, the pentagram, hexagrams, many things done. The fleur-de-lis. I haven't got all this information together, but we're seeing things. When we understand this, we'll know how to pray and bring the principalities down, the rulers, the satanic forces that are in control over the states. Now, I wrote to Washington to ask if they could send me some kind of information on it. I got the letter back just before I left home, and they said they were sorry, but all of this is out of print. That made me know all the more. We've got to find this information out. And I just tell you that for homework, to begin to intercede and pray. Hallelujah now. And so it seems that everywhere in our land, every city, no matter how small, we'll see Greek architecture in evidence. Like that Temple of Diana, that structure we see everywhere. Very striking. But like a curse put on every city that mythology is in evidence. People are wounded and bruised and romanced by the sensationalism. That Pythian response, that Python response, divination response to, oh, look, our roots go right back to Greece and Rome. See, that attitude now. Man's desire, this is what mythology means. It is man's desire to explain the universe. Now, one of man's earliest attempts to relate to himself. That's what mythology is. Mythology birthed humanism. Man relating to himself. Many of the things that are taught in our colleges and schools, like mathematics and English, you know, your languages, the history, the poetry, the poets worshipped Apollo. All of them, it seems, has their origin. There was a God set over each one of those energies of learning and taught. You see how the entrance came right in to our being, our ability of communication and retention now. Almost every city now, like schools, churches, libraries, have temple architecture. Apollo was the son of Zeus. His name was the Thunderer. He was the most powerful of all the gods, and all the rest of them obeyed him. He ruled with the 11 other gods, and I told you yesterday about who Apollo was. He was the music maker, the god of life, the song of song and of youth. And out of that, as he slew the dragon, that Python nature. See, Python nature not only is that force that holds you, but it is also that divination power. Because what is this divination power going to do? It's going to put you in a trance. It's going to make you think you're something you aren't. It's going to bring desires of lust and uncleanness and perversion into your mind. He's set to try to control you. Hallelujah. Now, so, as we look at all of this, Apollo came from the very part of Greece where he had a haven. Now, his priestess's name was Pythia, and she sat on a tripod, you know, like a three-pointed tripod. Thank you. And while she sat there, she breathed in intoxicating vapors and was thrown into a trance, like the pharmakia or pharmacia spirit that's coming over drugs to bruise the mind. See? And what was it? It was an escape. And when this happened to her, she could tell fortunes. The spirit of divination took control. Now. And so many things transpired here. They were given as oracles. And these oracles were usually in language that could have two or more meanings. I thought about that Balaam, Nimrod, seer, medium, fortune teller, false prophet. How do we begin to judge false prophecy? First of all, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know. And most of the time, they're going to tell you things that have two or more meanings. Yes. They'll say something like, I don't know what this is, but this thing that you've been praying about, God's going to do it. What you prayed this morning, the answer's here. That's like false prophecy. Let me tell you, God doesn't have to speak in riddles. He doesn't speak in mysteries when he's going to speak to you face to face. What's the reason to communicate if you're not going to say something? But what happens to the person? That person thinks, now, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. And they're so gullible. See, once you give your ears to that, the first thing you know, you're seduced by, well, I'm something. And, you know, they always go on to say, now, you're really obedient. You're really obeying the Lord. You're the apple of your father's eye. You know, they've got a lot of nice little words like cliches that they attach to that. Beloved, it's time for the body of Christ to know what the full prophet does and the ministry of the prophet, and to know that when prophesying comes into the body, it's the Word of God speaking. And just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that God's talking. It's time for us to know and understand the power of the Word, so that when God does speak, we have an unction to obey it. And we go out blessed and edified and built up and strengthened because the prophet has visited the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the Laodicea church. This Laodicea church, lukewarm, let's turn to her in the Word. That spirit of Laodicea, lukewarm, that's right, means lukewarm. Boy, haven't we seen that before? Laodicea was a wealthy city. You know, if you're going to be passive and lukewarm, you know, like whatever, you know, you give yourself to everything and everyone, to exact your needs or what you want. Laodicea, lukewarm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That Laodicean church, it was a city that was on the exchanges. In that lukewarm, you'll be all things to all men. See, you'll do whatever seems right to do. That also is an attitude in the humanism teaching. And whatever seems good, that's what you ought to do. That's an attitude. Passivity. Just floating by. Feeding your flesh. Exalting yourself. Just laying back, I think is a term that the world uses. Letting nothing affect. You not for them, neither are you against them. I call it ignorance. See, a man that's not for something isn't worth anything. That's what my daddy used to say. Beloved, it's to make a declaration of what we for, what we're for, to get the vision of Jesus and passive attitude out of us. Now, praise the Lord. There was also something else that went on here. They had a medical school there, going to heal up themselves. I thought that was interesting. It was also a place where there was a discovery, a scientific discovery of coleurum, I think is the way, or rheum was, well, you'll have to look and pronounce it yourself. What it was an eye salve that brought healing to the eyes. Now, what would lukewarmness do in the natural? It would just be like blindness. You just close your eyes to everything that's going on around you and let everybody function where they were. But out of that, see, going to put an eye salve on you so it's not going to hurt you anymore. See? Going to touch your eyes so that whatever's happening around you is not going to affect you. And there's a lot of folks patting eyes in this day, trying to get people to see just what they want them to see. Oh, enough, that's right, and nothing more. That's an attitude that's got to come out of the church. We cannot coexist. And I want you to write that word coexist down and remember. Brother Jack Harris preached on that several camps back. And it's like an arrow that went into my heart to remember. Coexist. That's the situation that we're seeing that has produced the mixture. We have been in agreement to coexist with our enemies. And in that coexistence, that passivity, like that Laodicean nature, we have become a mixture. Those things, well, it seems all right, I'll just do it. See, that attitude has got to be removed from the body. Now, these are the things that the Lord said to us. Nothing shall escape in this hour. Beloved, we're not going to bring this junk into His throne. It's got to be removed. And the sooner we can attack these attitudes and get them from us, the quicker the revealing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking for something. Praise God. I must have laid it right here. Thank you, Father. The church has been encouraged in the midst of her tribulation. See, what was he saying? I can remember when I was a girl of 18 in Bible school. And I had just been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I should have probably been put in a closet somewhere, like Bob Mumford said, for about 6 weeks. The fire was burning in me. Oh, I was excited about the Lord. Well, every morning we had like from 9 to 10 was the precious time where we ministered to the Lord in our room. And so on this one particular morning, I got up and I opened the Bible and it opened to the book of Revelation. I thought, oh, hallelujah, the revealing of Jesus. Well, the more I read, the more awful it seemed. And I remember by the time I read the last verse, I was shaking. And I closed the book and I said, oh, God, what have I got myself into? And the Lord spoke. You think you're just sitting there all by yourself? Oh, no. The Lord knows your heart. That's Him shaping and molding and blessing and making you like Himself. And just like the mama makes and you know, that mama heart of God is shaping you. Just like we're in that incubation time of the womb, you know, being prepared and made ready for glory. And so the Lord spoke to my heart because I was so frightened at what I read. And the Lord said, what did it say at the first? And I said, it was the revealing of Jesus. And to the overcomer, him that overcomes, there'll be no effect of such things. And the Lord said to me, do what you can do something about. I said, hallelujah. I can live with that. I can deal with me. And it has been a part of my understanding from that moment to this day. We've got to deal with this flesh man. All of these bruises and the hurts of this tangible realm have got to be put under our feet. We are now a new generation man, a kingdom son, hallelujah, full of grace and glory, hallelujah. A transfiguration process that is removing us from the power of sin and death. So how has the church been encouraged to recognize her weaknesses? In tribulation. When I see somebody's got a little crisis going on in their life, I'm saying, hallelujah, son's being born. Rejoice, hallelujah. God's dealing with you. That's your Father. Let me tell you, the devil can't do anything to you that your Father hasn't allowed. And the refining, the perfecting of your faith, hallelujah. He's not going to raise a church that'll break her ranks and wallow in self-pity and run to and fro trying to get somebody to bail him out. He's raising a mighty arm, hallelujah, that'll know the truth because the truth sets them free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, we got to get that vision of Jesus. The image of Jesus. Standing in the light lampstand. Did you know that the light of the lampstand was the only light in the tabernacle? There wasn't any borrowed light, nothing in this creation realm of light. It was the light. It was a total representation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And did you understand that table, that butcher, that of incense that stood before the veil of the tabernacle was Jesus Christ, the mediator, hallelujah, Him who would stand and take your place, your advocate. And it was the same height of the tips of the wing behind the veil of the cherubim, the altar of the covenant, hallelujah. And in depicting that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is our advocate and He is also our covenant, glory to God. God didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave us in any place where we would not know the effect of His nature within the midst of us. His intention was to bring out of this earth a bride, hallelujah. A union of completeness, oneness, perfection, that you might be all of His intention. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so there's an encouragement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think it says in Job, I believe it's 15:36 or 36:15, that He delivers the oppressed by their oppression. And He opens their ears to His voice through adversity. Hallelujah. You got a little crisis going on? Beloved, God's trying to talk to you. Get the lesson learned. Find out what you need to know. Don't let your peace be disturbed. That's the first way you know something's going on. My peace is disturbed. Find out what the lesson is and learn it quickly. Hallelujah now. Glory to Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Laodicea, compromise the word. Compromise. Compromise worldly mindedness. I salve. So that you can take what they're dishing out. Beloved, let us examine our attitude this morning. And let us find out what the attitude of Jesus Christ is. Let his word deliver you now. I want us to bow our head this morning. And we're going to let this word have its home in our heart. Hallelujah. Let this word encourage us. Hallelujah. I'm reminded as we bow our head that when they looked after this happening, hallelujah, that there appeared in heaven a scroll, a book, and no one. It was written on the front and on the back, speaking of the completeness of the Word of God. God not leaving anything out. No empty pages in God's book. No, you know, no places for you to try to write in what you think, see. No places for your doctrine in this book. We're going to do it like the Lord says. I thought that was wonderful. And they looked everywhere. This is Reynolds' paraphrase. They looked everywhere. And suddenly there before them stood a lamb as though it had been slain. I said, praise you, Lord. Because I realized that Jesus was slain. And that lamb, as though it had to be, was slain, had to be me. And you, the body of Christ. And I realized that in that union, what he had spoken now complete, that attitude of death out of the church, the overcomers having come over, let us view who we are in Christ Jesus. Let us see this Lamb company, glory to God, the sacrifice. The Lamb of God complete the revealing of Jesus, a revelation, hallelujah, that included you and it included me, a glory so wonderful, so powerful, hallelujah, that God would design in his infinite wisdom in this end time hour to bring out of this earth a people tried, hallelujah, living stones, glory to God, a tabernacle, a dwelling place, hallelujah, a part of his being, hallelujah, so complete and so perfect that they could look and in the midst of them could stand a lamb as though it had been slain, at last complete. And as that seal was broken, beloved, how do we know this? We have written it, hallelujah. It's been written through the life of every saint, hallelujah, every person that's gone on before, every generation has had a power and an authority of deliverance. The deliverers have been set in the earth, and God continually, hallelujah, allows this old human race to decrease that he might increase, hallelujah. And every age and every generation has done its part, and God in the timeliness of his glory, hallelujah, the ancient of days, the ages of glory, Hiram Yedavahaya, his millennial purpose has called unto himself a many-membered body, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so fit into the well-beloved, so complete in him that never again could there be a look that would see a flaw or a fragment that would need to be tended to, because the work is done. It is finished. The body is seen. Let us go on into the perfection of his glory. And now, Lord Jesus, let's deal with ourselves.
We command
our being
to
line up with your word.
I break every curse
that's been visited to my generation because of the rebellion of my ancestors. And I command my being to line up with your word.
Come on in, Jesus.
Show me to me.
Show me.
Let there be nothing in me that has to be tested. Now, let's take a look at the death realm that we've allowed. I command the spirit of death, the spirit of destruction, the spirit of divination, the curse of Python over my generation, my household, to be removed. I call it out. I demand you loose my body right now in the name of Jesus. I break every curse, all witchcraft, the attitude of Jezebel, the attitude of Ephesus, the attitude of Smyrna, the attitude of Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I command every one of those attitudes, the mixture of idolatry, the mixture of paganism, to be loosed from me in the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and command it to go. I want to tell you this is serious business. And I ask you please not to get up and walk around. Each one of you are a tabernacle. Close your eyes and let your tabernacle have ministry. Each one of us are here to do business. You came to this camp to minister to the Lord and be ministered to. You are the priest in your tabernacle, and now is the time to do business. We have been learning the last few days, and you're going to learn more as the rest of the week continues. But today, we break the curses of all of the idolatry and paganism of ancient ages past out of our bloodline in the name of Jesus. Now take a breath and push it from you. The Word says that Jesus Christ, His sword, His word, the rod is in His mouth, and He'll smite the oppressor with the breath of His lips. See, the name we prayed in the name of Jesus, the rod is now in your mouth, and you're smiting the oppressor with the breath of your lips, and we're going to slay this wicked giant that thinks that it can deceive and beguile and bewitch us any farther. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. Come on, deal with it. Deal with it. Come on, this is serious business. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. I command it to loose you in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of the Catholic Church, the paganism that's been worshipped there. I break every curse and every bruise on your generation, man, for 10 generations. I call it out. I call it out in the name of Jesus. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Brother Bill, would you get us some napkins? In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. Now, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, this day is over where everybody's going to feed you every mouthful you eat. It's time to make room for the word to take root and to do you good so that you can feed yourself and you know what the Word is saying. You know how to pray and you know how to defeat the enemy. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Now, let's deal with our flesh, man. Let's say it together. In Jesus' name, I command self-pity. Insecurity. Weakness. Inferiority. You loose me right now. In the name of Jesus. I call out the root of rejection. Out of my being. Right now. You loose me. Now come on, attack it. Get it out of there. Come on. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus, rejection. Come on out of the inferiority, insecurity. Come on. Take a breath and push it out. See, you're the boss in your tabernacle. You're the priest. Hallelujah. You're a deliverer. Hallelujah. And you're being delivered. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. I command it to go. See, we weld it out in the name of Jesus. Loose, 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 loose. We command it to come out with all your roots. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Hallelujah. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. See, self-pity's got to go. It lives in the sinuses. It lives in the sinuses. The tears, the self-pity. Come on out. Many times it enters there because of hurts as children. And also the python comes around at that same time. Did you know that the python had a little bitty thing on his tail that kind of separated like that? And when he laid hold of his victim, that kind of went into the bottom of it, and he began to wrap And that dose, it was very powerful there. And he began to wrap around and around and around his victim. And he had his stationary force there. See, let's get right down to that root right now where rejection has had its root. Father, let's say it together. I go back. In generations, I command all self-pity, rejection, inferiority to loose me. I'm chopping the root this morning. In Jesus' name, come on out right now. Attack it. Come on, come on, get it out of there. Come on, push it out of there, push it out of there. Come on out, the root, come on. Commanded to go. All the Python nature, sealed up emotion, inability to love or to give love, inability to receive from another person, inferiority, come on out of there. Insecurity, come on out of there. Rejection, rejection, come on out. In the name of Jesus, I command it to loose you. You come out with all your roots. Come on out of there right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's deal with hatred, jealousy, envy, rage, anger, vengeance. All of these seem to work together. What did I leave out? Pretty good list, okay. Let's deal with all of these, all right? Are we together? Let's say it together. Lord Jesus,
I command
the spirit of anger,
rage,
jealousy, vengeance. What I leave out? Hey, to loose us. To loose me. Right now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Now you commanded it to go. I want you to feel it go. Push it out, see. Now just bear down. Get down on. Take a breath from way down here and push it out of there. Come on. Bear down. Jealousy. Jealousy. Come on out of there. Jealousy. I command it to go. See, Jezebel works in that nature. Come on out. Vengeance. Vengeance. Come on out of there. I command to go. Rage and jealousy. Come on. In the name of Jesus, loose the people. Loose the people. Loose the people right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just keep going. Just keep going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord now. Hallelujah. I want to make another statement very clear. All of these things are like layers and layers and layers in each one of us. You may deal with these spirits over and over again, and it's not that you fell back. It's just more a surface that you need to get rid of. Every time you deal with it, beloved, you're going to be freer. And every time you call it out, you ask the Holy Ghost to take over that area, see. You come in full, you leave full. You just contained with two different things. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus now. Hallelujah. I think it's probably time for lunch. Are we ready to quit here? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I want to deal with one more. I break every curse of the thief and the liar.
I command
the spirit of Satan, the thief and the liar,
to loose me
right now.
I break the curse of blasphemy.
No self-worth. Says I'll never be anything, or I'd never amount to nothing. I break that curse off of me right now. And I command that spirit of blasphemy to loose me. In the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and let it go. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Push it out. Push it out in the name of Jesus. Push it out in the name of Jesus. I command it to go right now. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. All of it. And with all your roots. Come on out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now. Let's raise our hand.
Yes, amen.
That's a symbol of surrender.
Let's stand.
Let's stand. Yes, right. That's possessing your territory.
Amen.
And raise your hand.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Every area that I emptied out.
Every area that I emptied out.
I give it to the Holy Ghost.
I give it to the Holy Ghost.
Come on in, Jesus.
Come on in, Jesus.
Be in me all you want to be.
Be in me all you want to be.
Let me decrease.
Let me decrease.
That you might increase.
That you might increase.
I give myself to you.
I give myself to you.
Right now.
Right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of every vessel this morning, Lord. Every place that's been vacated, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill it. We praise you for it. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, 1:15, the ladies will go upstairs and have some more, and men will come here and have some more, and back at 2:30 to praise and worship for a few minutes, and then we'll have some more teaching and some more deliverance. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.